Morning, church. Good to be with you this morning. I've been asking Tony for a while to sing The Lighthouse. I'd asked him to do that for me, and I appreciate him doing that because, you know what, just as Bev was talking about back here this morning, there's a spirit of depression, there's a spirit that's going on in this country, there's a spirit that's going on all around the world, but especially this country, where people are depressed and people are down and people are hurting. And you know, some of the things that that I like to say, we've got the answer, but people won't gravitate towards that kind of an answer. They want to try everything else, and that's why we're in the mess we are with opioids. That's why we're in the mess with so many drugs, because they try to take it so many different ways. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not here to. I do have the answers this morning, and that is Jesus Christ. I do have that answer 100%. I mean, I will never back down for that because I know that He can take and He can change people's hearts. He can change their lives. He can do all this stuff. And I thank God one day that I saw, thank God for the lighthouse, that I saw the light one day, Greg. I am thankful that I did, because you know what? There's not a one of us in here can say, thus for the grace of God, there go me, on anybody or anything going on out there, because thus for the grace of God, that could be me up there. We have no idea where we would have been today if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. I want you to, if you would, turn to Matthew 16 and Matthew 27, both chapters. I'm going to read a verse from both of them. Matthew 16, 24. Then I'm going to turn over to Matthew 27, 38. Matthew 16, 24. And then turn to Matthew 27, 38, please. All right. Let's read God's Word together, please. 16, 24 tells us this. It said, "And then Jesus said unto His disciples, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." And I want you to remember that's very important. Then in Matthew 27, 38, it tells us this. It says, "Then there were two thieves crucified with Him, one on the right hand and another on the left." And let us pray. Father, if we come, Lord, this morning, I want to come with thanksgiving in my heart this morning, Lord. I want to thank You for Your mercy. I want to thank You for Your grace, Lord. I want to thank You for all that You've blessed us with, Lord. Thank You for the singing this morning. Thank You for the church this morning. Thank You for all that You have blessed, and Lord, how You brought us to this point, Lord. And we just thank You for that, Lord. I thank You for this beautiful day, Lord, that You've allowed us to be here. I pray, Father, Lord, this morning that the hearts of those that are standing here this morning, Lord, would be opened up, Lord, to Your Word. One more time, Father. I pray, Lord, that You would take and anoint these lips, Lord, and Father, that, Lord, that Your mercy and grace would go out, Lord, and the Father, that we could see, and that, Father, that we would know, and that we could take Your blessed Word to wherever it needs to go. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen, and amen. You may be seated, and thank you. I want to start off this morning by telling you, people will pick up a lot of crosses in their lives. You know, but I want you to understand something here this morning. But are they the ones that Jesus really wants them to pick up and take? As I was getting ready for this sermon, one of the things that I remembered was, and I went over and I told I went over and told Tony and Belinda this morning when they sung the cross on Calvary, whenever they're singing that song. And I went and told them, I said, "Listen, people are going to think that we planned this stuff, and we did not plan any of this." I'll tell you, what I'm going to talk about this morning is three crosses. And what I want to talk about them for this morning to you is, everyone that has been in church for any length of time has heard the story of the thieves on the cross. That's talking about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, usually around Easter times when we talk about it. But we all know the account of the crucifixion. I don't know if there's anybody in here that probably has never heard it at some time in their life. The Bible tells us there were three crosses up there. And I want to go into a little bit this morning about what each one of those crosses represent this morning. The Lord willing, I want to get into that this morning, because each one of them represents something. And one of us have been down those paths that are either in our lives, or maybe you're there this morning. If the Lord will allow me this morning, I want to do that. And I want to talk about what each one of them represent. The significance of the middle cross. I mean, I don't want to take away from the significance of the middle cross up there this morning. I want you to know that. And the man that hung on that cross, I want to say that, and rightfully so, he deserves every bit of praise that we can give him for what he did on that middle cross. To me and to everyone that has come to know him as their Savior, I'll tell you what, we should be willingly want to give him praise. It says over in John 10, 18, it says this, because Jesus willingly laid his life down, we have to understand that. They didn't take it. The Romans didn't hang him on that cross. The Pharisees didn't crucify him. He willingly went to the cross because it was a plan for you and I to come to know him as our Savior. John 10, 18 tells us this. No man taketh it from me. He's talking about his life. And this is Jesus talking. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it up again. This commandment I have received from my Father. He willingly did that. And can I tell you this morning, we should be like it says in Hebrews 13, 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruits of our lips giving thanks to his name. There's no name like Jesus Christ. I want that understood here this morning. There's no name like him. There was no one that ever did any more for us than what he did on that cross right there on the day that he died. And I want to praise him this morning. And if you've come to know him as your Savior, you need to praise him. If you're here this morning and you don't know, let me praise him for you, because you have the opportunity. You have the time. You're right, today is the day that you could come to know him, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say this without hyperbole, was the most important event in world history, bar none. You can go back and you can say what you want to, but the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is the most important event that's ever happened to mankind. Now, I believe all Scripture is given to us. All Scripture is given us, just like Paul wrote over in 1 Corinthians. He told us, these things happen as examples, and they are written down as warnings to all of us. And that's why I'm going to go over all three crosses this morning, because these are warnings as well as what we should be praising God for. These are warnings as well as what we all should give praise for. The Scripture I'm reading, the Scripture that I read, and the Scriptures that I'm going to read this morning were written down for warnings to each and every one of us. It's nailed to this cross represents, like I said, one of three things in person's life. And here's what they are. On Calvary, there were three choices that day that were given. There were three crosses, there were three attitudes, and there were three choices made. These can apply to all of us here this morning. I can say that without any hesitation. These can apply to each of us. I had to make a choice one day, Greg. I had to make a choice whether or not I was going to accept Jesus Christ into my heart or if I wasn't. And I could have walked out of that church that Wednesday night, and I could have went on home, and maybe Jesus would have never dealt with me again. I'm here to tell you this morning, he doesn't have to deal with you only one time. He only has to deal with you one time. If the Spirit is dealing with you, he only has to do that one time. But I'm here to tell you, he dealt with me that night, and I come to know him as my Savior. And I chose the way. I chose that for myself. You know what? He didn't drag me to the altar. The Spirit wooed me. He didn't drag me to that altar that night. But the Spirit was dealing with me, and as the Spirit dealt with me, I freely got on my knees. I freely said, Lord, I need you into my heart. I want you to come in there. And praise God, I'm telling you what. He did, and I knew that he did. There was no doubt that he did. He saved Dave Long. He saved me. Although Jesus had nothing in common with these two thieves, he was hanging right there. And guess what? You know what the middle cross represented to the Romans? Do you know what it represented to the Romans? It was the worst. If they put three people up there, they put the worst offender on the middle cross. That's what they did to Jesus Christ. The other two were thieves, and Lord knows what else. He had done nothing, but they put him on the middle cross because he was supposedly the worst. That's what it represented. The middle cross brought greater shame and reproach to whoever was hanging on that cross. But little did they know that they were fulfilling prophecy by doing this. In Isaiah 53:12, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with his transgressors. And he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's why he was hanging there with the thieves. That's why he wasn't by himself. Because Scripture had called for it and Scripture demanded it. All three of these individuals that I'm going to mention today in the Scripture were nailed to crosses. All three of them were. They all hung there naked and in pain. The pictures depict that Jesus had a loincloth over him. Do you know when they crucified him, they put them up there totally naked? That's why there was shame and reproach. That's what they did whenever they crucified them. All three of them, they were all mocked. The Bible only talks about Jesus being mocked. But when people walked by, they didn't just mock Jesus. They mocked everyone that was up there. And make no mistake about it. They shouted at them. Make no mistake about it. They tormented them, whatever they could do. This morbid crowd, when they would walk by, that was their entertainment. That was what they would do whenever they would crucify somebody. That would be just no different than us going to the movies or going to watch a concert. That was their entertainment, believe it or not. And what they would do, they would torment them and yell at them. And that was their entertainment for the day. You see, all these three crosses, the shame, the way of execution, were all the same. All three of them were hung there the same. All three of them were on separate crosses. But guess what? There was a difference. There was a difference. Their death was totally different on all three of them. You see, I want to talk about the man on the left a little bit. You know, he's the one that intrigues me. He's the one that, you know what? He saddens me as well when I think about what it was going through him. He was suffering in agony at being crucified. He was in immense pain, just like Jesus was, just like the man on the right was. And he knew death was imminent. He knew it. And he was not sorry. He was not repentant of his sins. He just focused on the current situation. And I'm here to tell you, there are people just like that guy right there today. They're dying spiritually. They may be dying physically. They know that they are. They're in immense pain. They're suffering through whatever they're going through in their life. Whatever's going on in their minds. But you know what? They can see it, but listen to me. They don't realize that there is a death sentence been put upon their lives. I don't know what's happening to him. I don't know what happened to him in his life. I don't know what was going on. I don't know what happened. The Bible doesn't go into detail what happened in his life other than to say that they were thieves. That's all that it says. But I don't know what was going on in his life. I don't know what made him so hardened. I don't know what made him so calloused. I have no idea. I don't know what made him so bitter. But he was actually 10 foot away from God in the flesh. He was actually 10 foot away from the one who created all things. 10 foot away from the blood that could have saved him. And the Bible tells us that his life had been left so bitter, so hard-hearted, so hurt, that he cursed God and he mocked. And this is what he made fun of. And one of them malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." He did not realize what Jesus, that's exactly what Jesus was doing. You know that? Jesus not coming down off the cross proved that he loved mankind. Do you not think Jesus could not have come down off that cross if he'd have wanted to? Oh yes, he could have. He didn't even have to go to that cross if he didn't want to. But praise be to God that everyone sitting in the sound of my voice this morning and anyone that will hear this sermon after one day, praise be to God, he didn't come down off of there and he didn't do what this selfish man wanted him to do. Because he very well could have. He didn't understand that Jesus coming down off the cross wouldn't prove that he was the Messiah. But Jesus staying on the cross proved that he was the Messiah. Let's give him a hand clap this morning. Praise God. Praise the Lord this morning. This guy over here, I don't know what caused him to be so hard-hearted and bitter, but he was. He was. He was so bitter that that's the last recorded words we had from him. That's the last recorded words. That's why I call this cross
The cross of bitterness. I call this cross the cross of bitterness. I call it the cross of rebellion. I call it the cross of rejection. Because right here, there are people out here in this world that are so bitter, they're so rebellious, and they're full of rejection for the things of God, that they are on this cross. They have picked up this cross, and they are carrying it today. They are carrying that cross. Because that is the cross of bitterness and rejection and rebellion. They carry it, and they mock God, and they mock church, and they mock salvation. They will say, well, I prayed for a loved one that was sick and to get better, and it didn't work. Or they prayed for a job and it didn't happen, or I prayed for a family to get back together and they went through a bitter divorce. You know what? They take up the cross of bitterness. Because they don't understand that in this world, we will have trials and tribulations, whether you're a Christian or not. Amen. Folks, please understand, Jesus said in Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil, and he maketh the sun to rise on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. That's the God that we serve. He is a fair God. He is a loving God. He made a way for everybody. And we are going to go through trials and tribulations. We are going to do that. And praise God, what it is, it's either going to make us or it's going to break us. Amen. Tragedies happen. Bad things can happen whether you are a Christian or whether you are not a Christian. They do. They happen. But what I've learned is, everything's better when I go through it with Jesus. Amen. Can you say that this morning? Everything is better when I've went through it with Jesus. No, my life has not been perfect. It has not. I have had troubles. I have had trials. I have had stuff and misery in my life, and things have come. I've had pain and heartaches. But praise God, I have been with Jesus through it all. I have. Me and Tink was talking this morning about some stuff on the way to church. And she said, Dave, do you realize we've never been out of church since we've been married at all for any length of time? And I got to thinking about it. I said, praise God. Praise God. You know what? Yes, there have been times in our life we probably have drawn back more than what we should have. But we've never, ever left Him and left what He's got for us and has had for us. And I praise God, I've never let bitterness take over my life. And I could have. I could have let bitterness do that. Because without Jesus, can I tell you something? You go it alone. Oh, I got my family. I got without Jesus, you go it alone. Jesus tells us in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I want somebody to go with me like that. How about you this morning? I want somebody to go with me like that hung on that middle cross, not the guy on the left cross. I want somebody to go with me to the end like Jesus will. My wife can only go with me to the grave. You know that? Jesus goes beyond that. Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. You're never alone. I've seen people that are going through things. Instead of softening your heart, their hearts, you know what's happened? That instead of them trying to draw closer to God or needing to draw closer, their pain and their tears through it all, there rises up a bitterness within them. In their spirit and in their hearts. It rises up. Just like this guy right here. And whether they know it or not, they're just like him right here. They're just like this guy that hung right here that would curse the Savior of the world, the one that had the answer for him. And that's what they do because bitterness and things have happened in their lives. And that's what they do. Circumstances do not make you what you are. Can I tell you this? They reveal who you are. Amen? I'm just here to tell you. When you go through things, that's when you're revealed who you really are as far as serving God. That'll reveal where you stand. That'll reveal what you're putting your hope and your faith in. Listen, there was a man by the name of George Wilson. And I don't know if this is a story when I was studying, I wrote this down. He was convicted of death for robbing a U.S. mail train years. This has been back in the 1800s. He'd been convicted of it. Andrew Jackson, this guy had some friends. Andrew Jackson was the president at the time. And they went to him and another guy. The other guy got executed, got hung. But this guy, they put a stay on it because his friends went to Andrew Jackson and said, give him a pardon. Andrew Jackson sent him a pardon, and this man rejected it. He rejected it and ended up, later on, he got hung. I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus Christ has made the way. Amen. He has given you the pardon. Amen. And you're no different than George Wilson if you do not accept it. You reject it. You could call him a fool for not taking the pardon. But let me ask you something this morning. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, and I say this, who's the fool? You'll be called a fool, rightfully so. Listen, this man on the cross was literally feet away from a pardon that could give him eternity in heaven, and he rejected it. Folks, I've known people that have been in churches, the Spirit of God has dealt with them, and as Greg says, it's what, 16 inches between here and here? And they reject it. And you could tell the Spirit's dealing with them. And they walk out the churches. And I don't know if they ever did find salvation in their life. There are many just like him today who have taken up the cross of bitterness, have taken up the cross of rebellion, have taken up the cross of rejection. Hebrews 10:26 gives you a warning. And you've heard it. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, folks, there remaineth no more sacrifice for your sins. If you do not accept what this man did on this middle cross right here, there's no way that you could ever be saved. No way. Nothing else will save you. Going to church will not save you. Tithing will not save you. I could go on and on down the list. Baptism will not save you. Jesus Christ's precious blood, as I said this morning, being applied to your life, whenever God sees the blood of Jesus, He will pass over you. The cross of repentance, the cross of redemption. The right side was going through the same thing. This guy right here was going through the same pain, the same mockings, the same everything that guy was going through and that Jesus was going through. He was going through the same thing. And at first, in Matthew, it tells us he railed against Jesus himself as well. He did the same thing. He was joining right into ridicule. The thieves in Matthew 27:40, the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in this teeth. And what they were doing, what that means is they were doing the same thing that the Pharisees were doing and the people that were walking by. Both thieves were doing them. Began to insult him in the same way. Listen, but the thief on the right side that was going through the same thing, he listened to Jesus. He listened to what Jesus had to say. Allowed his heart to be touched. Didn't allow bitterness to define him in the end. There's a lot of people that allow bitterness to define them all the way through their life. They allow that because that's what they live off of. That's what they feed off of is bitterness. They allow that to define him. This man wasn't going to allow that. It isn't amazing how people that are going through the same trouble, some of them who are going through the same troubles, the same trials, the same tribulations. There are people in this church who have went through some of the same things in their lives. They have. They've went through some of the same. You see the gospel that saves? One will condemn another. And it's amazing to me sometimes how the people going through the same thing and some people will get on fire for God and dig in there more. And other people will draw back. It amazes me. But that's the way that it is. That same gospel that saves will condemn others. The same gospel that will break some and cause them to fall to their knees will cause others to resist the Holy Spirit. Just like that guy was resisting God's word. Over and over again until they no longer can feel that tug in their hearts. I was listening to a preacher here a while back and he said he went to a church and He said, preached revival all that week. And he said, a guy kept coming. He said, and a guy come to that revival. And he said that he always raised his hand for prayer whenever they asked for prayer. So that after the service was over, he said he went out and talked to him outside of on the steps after church. He said he didn't want to embarrass him, so he went out and talked to him. He said, years ago, he said, I rejected the call of salvation whenever the Spirit was really dealing with me. He said, I go to revival after revival after revival, wanting the Spirit to deal with me again. He said, it don't do it. He said, it won't do it. I'm here to tell you this morning, this is serious business. It is serious business. I don't say that lightly because he was bitter about something that happened years ago. You let bitterness define you all through your life. I'm here to tell you this morning, it can destroy your life. The one on the right listens and watches as Jesus. He watches as they drive the nails in Jesus' hand. Both of them are watching this. They see what happened. And you know what Jesus says? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. That man heard the same thing that this man heard. But this man heard with his heart. This man just heard with his ears. I'm here to tell you this morning, we need to hear with our hearts. And as Jesus said that, that man on the right understood, hey, there's something about him. There's something special about him. They know what they're doing. And this man cried for mercy from Jesus. He said this, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus turned and said to him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I'm here to tell you, that man got it. Amen. One of these days, I want to go meet the man on the right. How about you? I want to meet him. And I believe we're going to meet him one day. He didn't have the opportunity to clean up his life. He didn't have that opportunity to clean up his life, right? He didn't have the opportunity to work his way into heaven. He didn't have the opportunity to have a long prayer of salvation. He didn't have any of that. He didn't have the opportunity to be baptized. Praise God. What he had the opportunity to do was to accept Jesus Christ and come as you are. Come as you are. That man on the right cross, he got it. And he didn't have to do a whole lot of things. I'm here to tell you this morning, you don't have to do a whole lot except that the Spirit is dealing with you to come and say, God, just forgive me. I'm a sinner. Just forgive me. And I'm here to tell you, God will honor that through His Son, Jesus Christ. He simply trusted Jesus, acknowledged Him as Lord, cried out for Him to save him, and praise God, that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. What he did. Praise the Lord. I call that the cross of redemption right there. Amen. Praise God. Cross of repentance. That's what that is. Folks, that's what this cross right here is where we all need to get to. We need to get to this cross right here. The cross of repentance where we know, man, I am a sinner, Lord. I know my life is not where it should be. But praise God, I know that you're there. I know what you've done for me. Praise God. I may be talking to someone here this morning, and I hope that if I am, that you may be going through things that you've never dreamed that you were ever going to go through in your life. You're carrying a load that seems unbearable. I don't know if I am. I hope that God give me this message for you this morning. I hope that if you're carrying that load, that you're not like him the rest of your life. I hope that you come to the acknowledgement of this guy right here. Amen. He will give you the chance. Romans, it says this in Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what it says. I agree with it. You believe the Word of God? I believe the Word of God. That's what it says. He will give you the chance to take up the cross of repentance. He'll give you the chance. You can hold on to the cross of bitterness if you want to. You can hold on to that if you really want to do that the rest of your life. Hold on to the cross of bitterness if you really want to do that. But praise God, He gives you the chance to grab a hold of the cross of repentance and pick it up and go.
It will only lead you to a life of heartache if you hang on to that right there. I'm here to tell you, it'll lead you to a life of heartache. You can draw closer to Jesus if you want. I always think of Joseph and the people that had given him a bad hand back in the Bible. Remember that? He could have been bitter. If there was ever a man on this planet that deserved to be bitter, it was Joseph. Am I right? His brothers sold him. He was even when he started having halfway success, somebody lied on him, put him right back into prison. Then the guy that was supposed to help him get out of there forgot about him for a while. If there was anybody that had the right to be bitter, he was. But you know what he said in Genesis 15, 19, 20, when he's facing his brothers? He said this, "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." Praise God this morning. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but can I tell you something? God knows what He's doing. He's wanting to get you to a place. If you get out of the cross of bitterness and get to the cross of repentance, I'm telling you, He will get you. And whatever is being done will be meant for good unto you. Because I believe God can do that. The cross that you've been given to carry in this life will either make you or it'll break you, as I said. It will either become a cross of rebellion or a cross of repentance. Now there's one more cross I want to talk about. And it's the most important one. It is the most important one. The middle cross, the precious blood of Jesus Christ that flowed from it. The Bible tells me that almost all things by the law were purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. His blood flowed down that cross. It did. Jesus had already taken your sins and nailed them to His cross. Jesus had taken the sins of the whole world. If you're sitting here this morning and do not know Him as Savior, He's already covered your sins. He's just wanting you to repent. Amen. The sins of the whole world have been covered because of Him. 1 Peter 2:24, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." Praise God this morning. "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Folks, if you're struggling here this morning with addiction, if you're struggling with bitterness, if you're struggling with jealousy here this morning, pride and anger and disappointment and guilt, I've got good news for you this morning. The gospel means good news. Am I right? What's the first two letters in gospel? Go. Go. We can go into all the world and tell them that there is good news, that there is healing for what ails us, that there are things that Jesus died on that cross. He's already nailed it to the cross. Praise God this morning. The cross of redemption is there for you. It can redeem us from bitterness. It can redeem us from, it's just a simple message. I know this is just a simple message this morning. But I'm here to tell you this morning, there are times we need simple messages. Amen? Amen. We need to know that, you know what, a simple message from a simple man. I am simple-minded. I will agree with that. But praise God this morning, we need simple messages sometimes. You've been through something and you're allowing your rebellion to swell up inside of you and keep you from what is there for you. This man here, as the old saying goes, I believe he split hell wide open. Because he would not just look over and just grasp what this man was all about, what God on the cross was all about, God in the flesh. Can I tell you something? God's not through with you this morning. Can I tell you that? I don't know where you're at in your life. You may be bitter, but I'm telling you what, you still got breath, and you can still get to this point right here. And I want to praise you, and God's not through with you. He can take that bitterness and use it for His glory. I tell this story quite a bit because the lady, she'd told a story about her. She'd got divorced in a bitter divorce, and her husband had left her and went with another man. But anyway, she had held that. She went to church, and she held that against him for years and years and years. One day, God had dealt with her so much she had enough. He was up on a roof doing a roof job at some place at a house. She went up to him, and she yelled up to him, "I forgive you because God told me I had to forgive you." And she said her life was never the same after that. You can hold on to that if you want. You can hold on to that bitterness. You can hold on to that hate. But guess what? It's only hurting one person, and that's you. Don't be like the man on the left. Don't be like that. I'm here to tell you, burdens are lifted at Calvary. There's a song, "Burdens are lifted at Calvary." And they are. They are. Praise God this morning. If they come get a song this morning, take it from you and give you the grace to bear it. Can you believe that? I believe God can take whatever you're going through. He can take it if he wants to. But if he doesn't take it, I'm here to tell you, he will give you the grace to go through it. He will. That's the kind of God we serve. The first scripture I read this morning was, "Pick up your cross and follow me." What kind of cross are you carrying? It's important. What kind of cross are you trying to carry this morning? Are you carrying the cross that Jesus wants you to carry? We're all going to carry some kind of cross, but make sure it's the right one. Praise the Lord this morning. They get a song.